We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm here in West Hollywood, California, in the Wondery Studio with my sister, Leanne Dolan. Leanne, how are you today?
I had to tear myself away from the U.S. women's hockey game, Liz. You're lucky I'm here. You people are lucky I'm here.
There's nothing like dawn hockey watching with a fresh cup of coffee.
It's the best.
It's good.
It's the best.
So, Julie Dolan, you're in Dallas, Texas. How are you today?
Good, good. Well, the early birds got the luge, which you girls on the West Coast were still sleeping. We watched the luge this morning with our coffee. But I want to wish everyone a very happy Mardi Gras, bon temps roulé, to everyone in New Orleans and around the world that celebrates Mardi Gras. Have a wonderful day.
You know, some of my favorite family photos, Julie, are all those years you were living in New Orleans, like your dress-ups for the parade, the year that, like, Mom and Dad were there, and Dad is dressed up as the Joker. And what
the
was
Joker.
Mom? Like?
And Mom was Catwoman. Yes. They were pretty good.
They were pretty good.
But yes, my two sons were Batman and Robin, and our mom was Catwoman. She's pretty hot. She got a lot of beads that day.
I just remember you saying when you first moved to New Orleans, like, oh, you that's when you come to realize that during Mardi Gras season, you just get up every morning and put on a costume. That's just what you do for days on end. People who don't live there think it's just about the Tuesday, but no,
it's for like 2-3 weeks. Yes. There's a parade every day, every night.
Okay.
It's a whole season. Yes. So enjoy the last of it. And then I guess tomorrow, Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday, Liz.
Yeah.
That's kind of a dilemma.
That's kind of a downer. So we here at Satellite Sisters, we celebrate Galentine's Day. So remember, that's the holiday started by Leslie Knope on Parks and Rec. You just, like, it never gets old. Galentine's Day. So in case you have forgotten the key Galentine's Day greetings, they are hoes before bros. Ovaries before broveries. And my favorite, uteruses before deuteruses. So happy Galentine's Day to all.
All right, we're the Satellite Sisters. If you're just tuning in for the first time and you don't know what we're
talking about, this is what we do.
And that last 5 minutes was perplexing to you. You're going to want to go to satellitesisters.com. We're three of the five Dolan sisters. We're real sisters. We live all over the place and we've been doing this podcast for a while. We really cover it all, news, talk, laughs, and a lot of Olympics today. So I'm Leanne, and here's what's coming up on the show. We are going to talk about the Olympics. Julie has an international news roundup because, God forbid, we not cover the actual news.
It's so important.
All right, Julie, fine.
We're going to do that. I have some insights that I don't even you sisters have not heard. So okay. I think you'll enjoy it.
Good. All right. Also going to tell you about an organization you can join, Dr. Susan Love's Army of Women. So I saw Dr. Susan Love on Friday at a fantastic conference. She was a guest several times on Satellite Sisters. Julie, I was at your old stomping ground at UCLA, so we're gonna talk about all of that. But I think she did an incredible keynote at this conference, and then she wants to sign up women for scientific studies. So I'm gonna tell you,
good.
Yeah, that's her mission now. So I'm gonna tell you all about that. You know, at the Satellite Sisters email, and we're not gonna give it out because we don't really want people to email us, but just
because there's no one to answer.
We do read it. We read it. We don't respond to it. Just go to the Facebook page if you want to communicate with us. But so we get pitches in every day, dozens and dozens of pitches from well-meaning PR people. And this week, Liz and I are featuring Good Pitch, Bad Pitch.
Yes.
So we have that coming up later. But then really the biggest news of the day, Liz, you're bringing it today.
I have dog news, sisters. Now, I did tease this a little bit. If you're not a member of the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, you're actually missing a lot. You get advance warning of things. You get follow-up on things. You get to post things that you want to share with the sisterhood. So, yeah, I have a major dog announcement to make at the end of the show, Leanne. Very exciting. Happening today in
today,
my life.
Right.
Today. Like, I'm running out at the end of the show. Well, you'll find out later what I'm running out to do.
We're going to hear all about it.
We have to talk fast because Liz has an appointment, apparently. Yeah. But not too fast, Liz. Don't talk too fast.
No.
All right. So let's talk about the Olympics. Is everyone enjoying it so far?
Immensely.
Yeah.
Just
love it.
Yeah.
Could not be better.
You can go to a different place. It is a safe place on TV or on the internet, right?
Yes.
It's safe, isn't it? It's wonderful.
It's a relief. All right. So I just put together a list of 8 truths about Pyeongchang. But if you're a hardcore TV watcher, an Olympic fan, and sports fan, you're going to want to actually go to Facebook daily, because I am posting daily, every day, my random thoughts about the Olympics. I've done this for, I think, 4 Olympics now.
Yeah, many, many years.
Right. It's like me and Katie Kirk. We're the face of the Olympics, really. And
You are.
Yeah, so every day I'm watching as much coverage as I can. Things are popping into my head and I'm writing it down.
Yes.
I'm posting those 2 places. You can definitely catch them. Leanne Dolan author page, not my personal page, but my author page. And then also I repost at the Facebook Satellite Sisters Facebook group. So,
and you don't have to watch the Olympics to read Leanne's random notes.
No.
I mean, the random notes are quite the summary. So you'll really be in the know if you read Leanne's notes.
Thank you, Julie. I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that. So here are just some bigger thoughts as opposed to the specific
things.
Eight things. First of all, Korea is a snowy winter wonderland.
Who knew?
I mean, I knew it was cold because one of my very good friends is Korean American. And so when we go to this Korean day spa and we lie on the hot floor, she told me all my relatives in Korea have these hot floors because it's so cold in Korea that at night after dinner, everyone lies on their hot floor and watches TV.
Yeah.
But how beautiful is it to see these shots? It's a snowy winter wonderland. Because last time we had the Winter Olympics in a summer resort.
Yeah, in a beach resort. It's called Sochi.
Yeah. And next time we're having it in China where there, again, no snow. So, but Korea is a genuine winter wonderland with beautiful shots.
Mountainous. Very mountainous. Yeah.
Everything's snowing. It looks beautiful. It looks very cold. Very, very, very cold. But it's the Winter Games.
It's winter, exactly.
And as the slopestyle gold medal winter said, you know, it's winter sports. We expect there to be snow and wind. Like this is it.
The sportscasters have trouble with that.
The snow and the wind, you know, for years.
For years, right.
It doesn't phase them at all.
It does not. It does not phase them. It's so Korea. Check. Snowy winter wonderland. All right. 2, second observation. It's not that we're getting older. It's that the athletes are getting younger, right? They are so young.
Well, especially the snowboarding, there was a lot of snowboarding last night and over the weekend. 15, 16, 17. You kind of love that. But remember, Tara Lipinski was 15.
I know. But they
maybe
just,
we are getting older.
We are getting older. A little bit older. But let's talk about those wonderful 17-year-old snowboarders. Our man Red, of course.
Red.
I mean, if you have a 17-year-old son,
he's a classic, right, Leanne?
I mean,
every mother of 17-year-old boys, understood everything about Red, right?
Yeah. Oh, he lost his jacket. He had to borrow one before the games at the medal ceremony. It was like, Red, pay attention. Put your hand over your heart. Get it together up there, Red.
I read that on his website, he has a simple mission statement posted. And here's Red's mission statement, which I may adopt for 2018 instead of my annual theme. Red's mission statement is, always in search of the funnest ways to shred.
You can see he lives that life.
Yes. Living
completely,
that every day.
Completely. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not just, he's 17, but like they're all under 21 now. You know, none of them are grown-ups except Shaun White. So these athletes are getting younger, but they're wonderful. All right. 3rd truth. The headwear game is just strong on the athletes, on the fans. I feel like the broadcasters need to get in the game because they're not wearing any headwear because, our hair.
They care about their hair too much.
Get in the game, man. Mm-hmm. That Chloe Kim hat.
Yes.
I want
adorable.
That. I mean, it looks terrible on me, but I love that hat.
It's
and they
adorable.
All have those cute long braids and long hair.
Yes.
They look adorable.
It's
adorable.
Totally great. I saw one of the knitters at the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. She's got the pattern. She's going to knit up that hat. She's
nice.
On it. Yeah.
It's the new pussy hat.
Yeah. And then you go
and then braid your hair. That's what you need. One of those like messy braids.
Yes.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Awesome. With just the two things, perfectly pulled through your goggles. I mean, how does she do that? My hair's never looked like that on a ski slope, ever.
I know.
I don't understand. But then the fans, like you go to the Luge fans, I mean, they are fully decked out with the headwear. They're committed to this. So I just, the only people wearing hats are the ski commentators, Bodie Miller and everything, because he's a skier. And like, yeah, it's freezing. Put some hats on. I feel like my mother, you know? Remember our mother used to say, just put a hat on.
Yeah, 90% of your body heat is... Yeah.
You don't put a hat on. Yes.
All right, to that effect, truth number four, the winter fans are hardy. They are not sports tourists. They are sports fanatics. I mean, they didn't just wander through Korea and think, oh, this looks fun. Let's go to that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not
like watching a swimming event or track and field or something.
Or even like a baseball game. Right. Like you might, oh, let's go to New York. Let's go to a Yankees game. That is not what's happening here.
Well, remember when we went to the Lake Placid Olympics, Leanne? We drove up to Lake Placid in the middle of a storm. But then when we got there, we decided we would go to the women's downhill. So we go there, and because we were fans, you know, not tourists. And everyone on the bus had ski poles with them. And we were like, I wonder what's that about, what that's about.
Yeah.
And then we got there and we realized, oh, it's because you have to climb up the side of the mountain to stand along the course so the skiers can come by in a nanosecond and you have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
So now we're ready for like future outdoor events like that. But it does. It takes a commitment to stand on those ski hills and watch things happen.
And it's the same thing like over at the ski jump. There are like 10 fans there because it's 1 a.m. when they're jumping, but they are committed fans because it is freezing and there they are. So good for them. All right. Fifth truth. It takes all kinds behind the mic. From Johnny to Bodie. Like they're the commentary is
Tara,
good.
Johnny.
I know. It's all good. Like I love Johnny Weir. I think he's hilarious. I'm glad we have him. Who's the opposite of that? Bodie Miller.
Bodie
who's like the Walter Cronkite, you know?
I love Bodie Miller. I'm learning so much about, like, technically about the downhill racer. I think he's excellent.
He's fantastic.
I had no idea he had a brain, Leah.
Yeah, I know.
And he's really so thoughtful and detailed with his analysis.
Yes,
he's excellent.
I agree. So it just takes, like, just embrace it. Enjoy it. It's great that they're all different kinds behind the microphone. And then we have Johnny Mosley, who is like the Rowdy Gaines of winter, you know, just so enthusiastic.
Happy to be there.
You just get caught up. You can't not enjoy the moguls, even though your knees hurt watching it.
I know. So I watch and I'm like, ouch, 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 as they come down the hill.
All right. Here we go. Korea. Gold medal for mascots, stuffed animals, and metal girl outfits.
Yeah,
I mean, this is what Korea does best. You know, they get the stuffed animals.
Nailed it, Leanne. I agree. And they're not complaining about the cold.
No.
At all.
Uh-huh. No. It's, I think, important to note, too, no one is complaining about anything. Everything is working.
Yes.
Nothing about the venues not being right.
There are no toilets
overflowing. Security issues. The athletes' village. We haven't heard one thing.
That's right, Leanne. That didn't dawn on me. Yes.
So not only have they provided adorable mascots, you know, that are everywhere and enjoying themselves outside, everywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got the stuffed animal game. Very great. I love that. That they get those stuffed animals.
I know people were concerned in the Facebook group that they were getting stuffed animals instead of medals.
No.
So they're getting the medals later in the day.
Very nice medals too this year, this time around. Yep.
And then the metal girl outfits. Have you seen those? The red coats and the white hats.
I'm sure I wanted an outfit like that when I was little. A red coat with the puffy white furry. Oh, it's lovely.
It's great. It's great. They look great. And then, all right, seventh truth. They are all somebody's kids. I love that. The families, it's fantastic. Again, not easy to get to Korea, you know?
Right.
And not a popular place to go for the last year. Like, that sounds like a terrible idea, taking your whole family to the Korean peninsula. But they are there and they are cheering. And it's so fantastic to see the moms and dads.
I
love it. And all the families, the siblings, it's great.
Oh, my God. That's the great thing about Red, that he has all of the siblings there. And
they're all like drinking beer.
Yeah.
They're like at 8:30 in the morning.
But they have strong signage, Julie. So they've done the advanced prep
the
that
big
allows
heads,
them.
People yes, the big heads. The big heads. I like the hats that say mom on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
How about the laminated sign?
I know.
I love that.
They're all somebody's kids. So it's great. Okay. Yeah. And then the last truth. I mean, Norway rules. Oh, who's kidding who?
Yeah.
Why? Every time. I mean, what is it?
They're going to win more medals than everyone. Go ahead.
Just go ahead and win. You know, okay. So I looked up some facts about Norway. There are only 5 million people in Norway.
Uh-huh.
So I feel 5 million. And they have far and away the most winter medals of any country. Collectively, ever. They have over 329 medals. So that was before this Games. They already have 11. Yeah, I know, Liz. That's like a medal for every five people. I mean, I don't know how to do math, but Almost everyone in Norway
has
a medal.
That's why we want them all to emigrate here, Liam, the Norwegians. Maybe that's why we picked them.
That's true.
You know, it's funny you say that, Liam, because watching some of the cross-country events and the biathlon events, I was like, if I really wanted to get better at cross-country skiing, I would go to Norway. Mm-hmm. I'd just move there, and they must have great coaches up there, too.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just everything. Like, you see the Attacking Vikings, their ski team, that's what they call themselves, yep. And they just decided in the 90s, why do the Austrians keep beating us? And they just fully committed to the team thing. Like, they eat together, they sleep together, they train together, they push together. I guess there's nothing else to do in Norway, so I get that. Like, they're not distracted by... anything?
We have the Kardashians. That right. takes up a lot of time.
That's true, Julie.
It does. And so, but they are ski flying, they're curling, they're sliding. I mean, so just give it up for the Norwegians. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Good mm-hmm. for you, Norway, because it is, it's great. So there you go. Those are my 8 truths about Pyeongchang, but every day I'm posting daily at the Leanne Dolan author page and at the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. You guys got anything else?
Well, Monica and I were texting back and forth. This is a missing sister, again, for those of you who are new. Her sister Monica lives in Portland, Oregon. We were both feeling like maybe the team figure skating should happen before the games begin. And then, you know, as like a warm-up for everybody, yeah. you can have that team event. And then let's start on the individual competition. It seemed to both of us that maybe people weren't quite ready, or, you know, that it was just a lot of skating before what we consider to be the main event, which is more of the individual
yeah.
event.
Yeah. It kind of grew on me, I have to say. I thought it yeah. was a little cheesy, but by the last night... Again, the live coverage yeah. really yes. makes a difference in sports.
It's very yeah. exciting. Yeah. Well, it's nice. It's more medals. So, you know, yeah. those figure skaters work so hard. So, mm-hmm. More people are getting medals, and that's a good thing, I think. I mean,
more
I know
Canadians. That I know more Canadians are getting medals.
Well, we got some bronze medals.
We did.
I feel
we
that
did.
Was good.
Yeah.
I mean, some of our skaters, that may be the only medal they'll get. So, that's a very good thing.
That's true. Yeah. Yes. Well, we had that nice conversation. Go ahead, Joel.
My big thing about the Olympics is just how insanely dangerous everything seems to me. All the snowboarding, the downhill. I mean, they are going at such high speeds, and they're flying, you know, they're flying 120 feet over jumps and things like that. I just keep saying it's insane what they're doing, but it is amazing to watch on TV. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just ask both of you this. Would you ever in a million years have allowed one of our brothers to skate around holding you over their head? Like, did we ever establish that level of trust where that would have ever? We have 3 brothers. Besides the 5 girls, there are 3 boys. And let me just speak on behalf of all of us. No way. Ice yeah. dancing well, with our brothers?
No.
That's not happening.
That's true. Well, just touching. I wouldn't even touch our brothers.
Wonderful men, but yes. No, I would never have trusted them.
So those are ship sibs.
Hear me. I just didn't want them to touch me. Yeah. Just leave me alone.
They used to hip check us into the wall, just like walking by us, just because they were hockey players. And so, no.
I wouldn't go up and down the stairs if Dick was on stage. That was it. Because I knew something bad was going to happen.
So go ship sibs. That's all I have to say.
Well, it is exciting. It's exciting to watch. I think the coverage has been really great.
It has been. Yeah.
I love Mike Tirico. I think he's doing a fantastic job.
And Me too.
If you just stay away from the Today Show, then you're going to be good. So that's my recommendation. All right. But every day over there on the Facebook group page, it's happening. Lots of Olympic conversations. If you want to rehash all of the figure skating scoring, there's, mm-hmm. you know, that's the place to do it over there. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Julie's going to give us her international news roundup. And then I have some medical news from Dr. Susan Love I want to share with you all. So stay with us. We're the Satellite Sisters.
And we're back. Okay, Julie, your patented international news roundup. Is it Olympic related this week, I'm guessing?
There are some Olympic stories, so let's just get started. And of course, we're going to start with North Korea. I have 3 things to say about North Korea: on unification, on the sister, Kim Jong-un, and the cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. Okay, First of all, as you know, it's been, you know, all over the Olympics, the unified South Korean, North Korean hockey teams, they march together at the opening ceremonies. But without, I mean, as you know, sisters, you know that I went to North Korea in 2010. And when I visited there, there were signs, big billboards all over North Korea touting unification, that the Kim regime believed in unification. They wanted to bring peace and harmony to the Korean Peninsula. And I was so surprised about that because I just assumed that the North and the South were kind of, you know, we have the DMZ zone. So I assumed that they, you know, there were very hostile relations. But according to the North Koreans, they want to be unified with the South. That was part of the Kim regime. And the reason why they want to be unified with the South, of course, they want to be unified under, you know, Kim Jong-il.
Under their government. Yeah.
With their guy. They don't want a democratically elected, modern society like what they have in South Korea right now. No, they want the whole peninsula unified under the Kim regime. Okay, so that's a different version of unification than I think we're hearing. I'm certainly for world peace, but I was a little skeptical with the unification piece. The other part of it, what we were told by our tour guides, this is the official line in North Korea, that the reason unification was so important is because the Kim regime believes that the Koreans are the superior race and that the North Koreans are the purest of the Koreans. Obviously, the Koreans living in South Korea have been corrupted by the West and by the U.S., and really what is best for the Korean race is this unification.
Okay, that's a little scary.
I know, and I haven't heard anyone say that, but I think that's exactly what we were told about why they felt so strongly about unification. So I just pass that on.
Okay.
That's just an insight that unless you'd been to the country, you might not have seen it. Now, the sister Kim is getting a lot of attention, but what I really focused on was that sort of sneer that she has mastered. You know, and the seating arrangement. There was a big fail there that we had the Vice President Pence sitting below the sneering Kim Jong Un. You know, I mean. How that was bad. That looked bad. That was bad. And did you see how her nose was kind of crinkled up? Another thing that had came out when we were on tour in North Korea is that North Koreans think Americans stink. That we literally stink because we're butter eaters. In fact, they have a derogatory.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo, yes. you can literally see your skin get firmer and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know, we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAT Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SAT Sisters for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Perm.
Now you're making this up.
No, I'm
just not even true. How is that possible?
They believe they have some term, you stinky butter eaters. That's what they say about Americans. So I am not making that up, Leanne. Again, you're only hearing it on this Satellite Sister podcast. And only if you went to North Korea would they have told you about the stinky butter eaters. And that's why she was literally cringing in her seat, I think, because they perfected that because they think Westerners smell because we eat so much butter.
Okay, that's a good working theory. Yeah. That's good. Okay.
Sure.
The other thing I felt when she was sitting there above Vice President Pence, I thought she might stab him. I was so worried that she was going to pull out a knife or take some poison and rub it all over his face. I just thought, get away from that woman. I mean,
wasn't the last murder that they perpetrated was spraying someone in the face with poison, right? That happened in some airport.
Her brother-in-law, her stepbrother, was killed. Yeah, they sprayed him in the face with poison. Okay, right. And you know, again, I have been very, very nervous the whole time because, Liz, you remember the Australian Sydney Olympics. The North Koreans were supposed to come, and there was going to be all this discussion with the South Koreans. They were going to do the unified thing again because the Kims really wanted a unified Korea, but at the last minute, all negotiations broke down. Well, shortly after the Sydney Olympics, the North Koreans shot down a South Korean airline passenger jet. Do you remember that? That was the retaliation. So I'm on pins and needles about this whole Olympics. I'm not feeling good about the reunification or about her being there. I'm not feeling any of the warmth. I'm very nervous. There's going to be some kind of retaliation.
Okay. Wow.
The third thing, those cheerleaders. Okay. I told you when I visited North Korea that nobody has a job. They're, you know, and they don't, you know, all they do is march around. So yes, they're very synchronized, those cheerleaders, but yes. I really view them as hostages. Okay. They're beautiful hostages doing this synchronized cheering. But I agree.
Yeah. They're, okay. I agree. They are there under duress.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
Right. I mean, in 2010 at the World Cup, or at the last World Cup, they had cheerleaders, some of whom sort of acted up or did stuff. Well, they're in the report is they're in work camps now.
Yeah.
So I that's what I have to say. Those are my 3 points about North Korea. Okay.
Well, you've certainly sucked the fun out of the Olympics for all of us. So, well, congratulations.
I just wanted to focus on the mascot. That woman. Whatever you do, Leanne. Okay. Okay. I think your Olympic notes are going to take you far. But if you end up at some Olympic event, to get away from her. Okay. Yeah. That's what I have to say. Okay. Russia. They are not the least bit sorry, are they?
No.
They were supposed to be banned from this Olympics. They were not supposed to be participating because they're big, fat cheaters, okay? And that they're not the least bit sorry. I mean, and some of their athletes, you're seeing the fans, they're wearing, you know, they've got Russian flags. They're wearing the Russian colors, you know, mm-hmm. and they're going to win a number of gold medals. We might as well give the gold and silver figure skating medals to those two Russian skaters. What do you think?
Unless they murder each other, which right. I believe could happen.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're fantastic. And you know, I don't hold clean Russian athletes responsible for, you know, what the Russian government perpetrated 4 years ago in Sochi. So I think, and I understand now that there are quite a few athletes on the IOC. So I understand where they're coming from that, because they're still mad about the 80s boycott, you know, some of the IOC mm-hmm. members. So they feel like athletes have a right, you know, to go if they're clean. But yeah.
But who's kidding who? It's still a Russian team.
It's still a Russian team.
Yeah.
As Johnny Weir said, can we just call it Russia, please? That's yeah. what he said. Okay. And I'm with him. Just call it Russia. But I think the big winner of this Olympics is going to be Putin, because you see all these gold medal winners, Russian winners, and all the medalists, they're going to go back to Moscow. They're going to be there with Putin. They're going to have their picture taken in the presidential palace. And in the meantime, the Russians are supposed to be behind the cyber attack that happened on the opening, the night of the opening ceremonies.
You're just killing this for us, aren't you?
Okay. All right. I have to speak the truth. Now, let me just, Leon, you just mentioned South Korea. I think they are doing a great job.
They are doing a great job.
Totally
fantastic.
Agree with you. And they are just pretending it's not cold.
Yes.
They've got the robots, they've got the drones. Just as you said, everything is working. They are having an awesome time. So I think they are a big winner of this Olympics, if North Korea. Okay, but we've already covered that. All right, let's move on to some of the other countries I want to mention. Just, hey, Great Britain, fairy tale wedding, May 19th. Other breaking news this week, okay, is now we know the time of the wedding, okay? So it's going to be 12 noon UK time, which is 7 a.m. Eastern time. Ooh, it's going to be a little early out there for you sisters.
4 a.m.
Okay, but that's for the actual ceremony at St. George's Chapel. But then just fabulous news. They're going to be in a horse carriage and they're going to ride through the town of Windsor. And that starts at 8 a.m. So I think you could do it. Mm-hmm. I think you can set your alarms and at least get up for the carriage procession, because then you'd get a good look at the dress and them. And I think that is going to be wonderful.
Okay. Can I just ask, are royal weddings like sporting events where they're 100% better live? Or can I just record this and watch it when I wake up? Does it really make a fundamental difference when it's a wedding? Right?
Just stay off of Twitter.
Yes.
It can feel fresh.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. And then I also want to mention for Liz, you know, I know one of the things that you have talked about is that you're really interested in other planets, but you don't want to go visit these other planets because of rocket ships. Okay.
Yes.
Because you don't want to.
Because it takes a super long time to get there in a very, very, very small craft. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Liz, I have a country for you then, the country of Oman, which I've actually visited. And if you've listened to this podcast, go way deep in our archives, you will hear me say that I visited Oman and it looks like a lunar landscape. Well, Liz, NASA didn't think it looked like the moon. Actually, NASA thought it looked like Mars. So right now they have 200 scientists from 25 nations, okay, and they are pretending that the country of Oman, down in the desert on the border of Yemen and Saudi Arabia, that they're pretending that that is Mars. And
wow.
They are just testing all their little their robots, and they're testing, you know,
like how to grow food, things like that. Like how could sustain life?
That. They're working more on geomorphology, which I don't really know what that is. So no follow-up questions on that. But they said that the structures, the salt domes, the riverbeds, it really parallels what Mars looks like. They're
That's
testing their suits. They're, you know, everything. So Liz, I just thought this would be ideal for you. You want a trip to Mars? Why don't you go to the country of Oman?
All right. Adding it to my list. I need a few things on the bucket list, Julie. So there you go.
Okay, see, Leon, I could end on a happy note.
Way to go, Joel. Way to go. All right, you brought it on home there. Thank you, Julie. All right, well, just down the street, last Friday I was at a conference at UCLA Anderson School of Business. Julie, you used to work there. Explain to people what you did there.
I was director of admissions for the executive and fully employed MBA programs. So that's for the executive programs and the weekend programs. And so I did all the admissions for that and worked with incoming and current students. Yep.
So that's a fantastic business school recognized around the world, Anderson School. So they've been putting on this conference for 6 years for the women there. And one of my friends is an alum. So she invited us. And that business school, Anderson, is run by a woman, Dr. Julie Olean. So Judy Olean. And so she puts on this great conference, and it's all UCLA Anderson School alums at the conference, but they're all also powerhouses in their own industry. So there's a full day of programming. And the keynote in the morning was Dr. Susan Love, the famous breast cancer doctor. She was also a guest on Satellite Sisters, but Julie, when they put up her specs, it said Dr. Susan Love, Anderson, 1998. I was like, didn't you recruit her to go to?
Yes. Well, I think she knew of the Anderson School of Business. She was a medical doctor.
Yeah.
This was pretty unusual. Not a lot of medical doctors had done that, had decided they wanted to go back and get a business degree because they were managing, you know, large healthcare systems, large scientific projects, and they wanted those management skills. So she was one of our executive MBA students and a real dynamo, just a terrific student and a great alum of Anderson.
Yeah, so it was really fun. The theme was resilience. So the speakers were all kind of talking about tough times in their lives, but it happened to be Susan Love's 70th birthday. She's 70 years old. She looks fantastic.
Wasn't she really sick a few years
ago?
Yes,
Liz.
I was surprised to even hear that she was out doing speeches, but I can't remember.
She had
the circumstances.
She was really, really sick. She was diagnosed with leukemia 5 years ago. And that was sort of the whole theory of her. That was the whole focus of her speech was like, you know, for 40 years, she had been a cancer researcher and surgeon. She's a surgeon, but she runs a lot of research projects. And but once she was a cancer patient, it completely changed the focus of her research. Mm-hmm. So she told her life story. She was she's one of seven kids. The family moved around a bit. She went to high school in Mexico, where she said it was really easy to get ether. So I could just operate on a lot of frogs there without anyone bugging me. Then she went off to Fordham, where she thought she was going to become a nun. She said,
really?
So much so that her junior year, she wore a habit the entire year, which is crazy.
Wow. That's unusual.
She decided it was not for her. So she decided to apply to medical school. But that was before Title IX. It was like 1970, when they just had quotas for women at medical and law schools, and like 5 to 10%. So she managed to get herself into a medical school. But she said that's really the big change with Title IX. I know people think it's sports focused.
Exactly.
But right away, what you saw was the quotas disappear in medical and law schools.
Because it's equal access across the board,
right.
Title IX.
Mm-hmm. And then she said, then she got a residency in surgery, very, very hard to get. It was like kind of mm-hmm. a tiny, unfantastic program in Boston. It's the only one that would take her in, even though she was a top student. She graduated as the chief resident and then came out and could not get a job. Not a single surgical practice would hire her in Boston because she was a woman. So she started her own practice, and she said, it was surgery, but I started to see a lot of breast cancer patients because, like, I had breasts, and they had breasts. And, like, I understood that it wasn't like, let's just lop off the breasts and then figure out what to do.
Yes.
And so right. her reputation grew, and she started to steal patients from male doctors who weren't so sure about that. So she's so funny, and she's so straightforward. It was about that time. She said, you know, my mother always wanted me to marry a doctor. We're Irish Catholic. She wanted me to marry a doctor, not be a doctor. And then I did marry a doctor, but the doctor was a woman. So that's different. But she just gave a wonderful lesson about, you know, I came out really early in my career. And I'm just glad, because it must be exhausting to try to hide any kind of truth like that. And her advice to the women was, no matter what it is, just be in the workplace the same person you are at home.
Yes. Because that is hard to pull off, but that is good
advice.
She is
one of those people that, like, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
You know, she's a real dynamo, and she has that confidence in who she is and is not afraid of anyone's judgment.
Right. And when she just said it must just be exhausting to live a double life, like, a lot of women in business live double lives mm-hmm. for whatever. So you pretend you don't have children.
Right.
You pretend, you know, oh, no. Those things at home, I don't, you know, or this
I never
or
think about any of that. Yeah.
So I thought that was just like really simple, straightforward advice. In her case, it was very specific, but I think it was applicable. And then she did go to UCLA. She ran like a medical center there, a cancer research center mm-hmm. after 5 years. But then she was honest. She goes, people didn't really like me that much. I was too much. So that's when she decided to go to business school. She realized, she goes, I don't know. It wasn't a win for me. So she went to business school, and then she started the Dr. Susan Love Foundation to focus on breast cancer research. She said, what I am good at is getting money, getting people, lining up scientists, lining up researchers. So then she was diagnosed with cancer, and it completely turned her, you know, her view of the cancer experience inside out. So this is what I want to tell the Satellite Sisterhood about. Something she's been working on for the last 3 or 4 years is getting women into scientific research studies. Mm-hmm. She said one of the big issues with cancer research, particularly breast cancer research, is that it's done on rats and mice who have no breasts and never get breast cancer. So we have a lot of results that are really going to work if you're a mouse that is artificially given breast cancer. But we need more women in these clinical trials. And so when she was talking to a researcher, they're like, yeah, where are we going to find women, though? She said, you know, the guys in the labs, like, they haven't left the lab in 20 years. They don't know where to find women. But she said, I felt like I could really help with women. Like, literally, she went to JPL. She was working on a thing, uh-huh. and they're like, well, you don't know any women, the scientists at the Jet Propulsion Lab.
Yeah, so, that says a lot.
So this is what she started, the Dr. Susan Love's Army of Women. So if you want to get involved, they put out tons of research information.
Like, is this any kind of study?
Any kind of study. I mean, they're focused on breast cancer, but mm-hmm. you don't have to have had breast cancer to be part of a clinical trial. Mm-hmm. So it's not any kind of study, but they'll take people who haven't had breast cancer. You can be a participant if you have had breast cancer. They're all, you need to go to this mm-hmm. website, yeah. but you don't have to have had breast cancer to participate in these breast cancer research studies. That's what she's doing. And it's armyofwomen.org.
Army. I love that, Leanne.
It's
love
great.
That title.
We'll
right.
put that all
the
in
sense
the,
of it.
We will put a link to that in our show notes, which is you always just tap our logo on your phone and you get our show notes.
Yeah. So you can register there, and then they send out periodic emails, and it'll just list like all 10 studies they're recruiting for. And if it doesn't work for you, send it to your sister. Forward the email on. She said they've now recruited thousands and thousands of women to be in these clinical trials, and that's really important for women's healthcare going forward, to get more women in clinical trials. Mm-hmm. So there's tons of other great speakers, and it was just a great day there at Anderson, Julie. But I thought of you because did it, Julie.
Yes.
You're really responsible for her career. I think.
I am responsible. I could have like shut her down. I could have turned her away, Leanne, but I saw her potential.
Yeah. She told one really interesting story about, you know, she came out very early against HRT, hormone replacement therapy.
Yes, she did.
And
yes,
it was controversial.
That was very controversial. And I recall that
she used to wear a big button around campus that said, you know, like, you know, unleash the power of hot flashes. Hot flashes are good for you, you know. Like,
really?
It's good to be hot. She had buttons all over. She'd wear those every
probably
day.
Not a lot of the other students at UCLA were, you know, wearing those.
Pro hot flash. So she said, you know, so she was at UCLA leading that research, leading that lab or whatever it was. And Malcolm Gladwell, who wasn't famous yet, but was still writing for was a junior reporter at The New Yorker, came out and did a story on her. And the headline of the story was about her resistance to HRT was Why Dr. Susan Love is Wrong.
Oh, wow.
And she said it tanked her career. Like,
wow.
She said it was just, and then 2 years later, the definitive study came out questioning hormone replacement therapy. And he did not write an apology to her. And so during the Q&A, a young woman got up and she's like, I'm on Twitter right now. We could all tweet him. Do you want us to get Malcolm Gladwell back for you, Dr. Susan Love? And she's like, no, I'm over it. I'm old now. You know,
focus our energy elsewhere.
She said it's just, you know, just something to remember. Yeah. Just like people are out there to tear you down. And you just got to be who you are and believe what you are and have the facts to back it up. So it was a great
she's
day.
She's noisy. Dr. Susan Love is noisy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's super hard to talk to the general public about medical issues and research and study results. You know, it's a difficult thing to get it reported out fairly and completely.
Right.
So good for her for just trying, like, the best way she knows how to get results that are more meaningful for us.
Yeah, okay. That's what she figured out. So good job, Dr. Susan Love, armyofwomen.org. All right, we're going to take a break. We want to thank a new sponsor. And then when we get back, we have a good pitch, bad pitch, and Liz, huge dog news. So stay with the Satellite Sisters.
Okay, we are back. And we're going to do a little thing here called Good Pitch, Bad Pitch. As Leanne explained at the top of the show, our email box is full every day with very well-meaning efforts from all kinds of publicists and people pitching us story ideas for our Satellite Sisters podcast. And sometimes you can tell they've thought a lot about like what our show is and what would work. And other times, let's just say, not so much. And so the game is called Good Pitch, Bad Pitch, but we're going to start with the bad pitch, okay? Just because
it's so bad.
This made me laugh out loud. And so I say most things I delete hundreds at a time. But this one I saved for two reasons, which will become clear. First of all, it's addressed to you, Julie. This is a pitch that came specifically to you.
Well, I'm the oldest sister, so sometimes that, you know, I get mail. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm just going to, as I read you this, just think, have they ever met me? Was this really targeted at me per se? Because I read this and I thought, oh my God, if Julie ever talked about this, I would die. So Julie, a recent report shows that by 2050, sex with robots will be more common than human lovemaking. If that's not troublesome enough, findings also show that 1 in 4 men would currently consider it. So what they're pitching here is they have an intimacy expert and sex therapist who is available to discuss the pitfalls and implications of robotic love, whether or not it can be as fulfilling as intimacy with another human being. And how technology will continue to impact all facets of modern love as we know it. So they have an expert standing by, Julie, because they just knew that robotic love was right up your alley. So what are you thinking? Good pitch or bad pitch?
Oh, that's a good pitch. Perfect time for Valentine's Day, Liz.
I guess that's what they were thinking.
I've been kind of stumped what I was going to get my husband for Valentine's Day. It's a robot. That's what he needs. The three of us. Okay.
You know, I got to say, having been a publicist early in my career, I know how hard this is to do. You are trying to think up some kind of story angle that somebody has never been pitched before. But then you do have to try to match it up with
who the hosts actually are and what they really talk about. So robotic love coming up on the next Satellite Sisters. Okay. So that was a pitch that we thought maybe they don't really know what we are all about.
Yeah.
But Leah,
because that pitch would have been great for Sheila, yes. You know, but not Julie.
Okay.
Okay.
And so then the good pitch.
Good pitch. I saw this. I'm on it. Clicked on it. I was like, send me the assets. Do you know what today is, Liz? February 13th? It's National Tortellini Day.
Oh,
Julie, did you know that? National Tortellini Day.
I didn't.
Okay. So what I love is that, again, these hardworking publicists, this is a survey. And what the publicist calls it is a definitive tortellini survey.
You know, because there's been a lot of conflicting research on tortellinis lately.
Some pretty shoddy work in this area of research, I'd say.
Yeah. So, okay, so this comes to us from the people that make, no surprise, tortellini. Three Bridges is the name of the company. I got to say, the tortellini looks pretty good. But I don't know if this surprises you or not, but less than 1% of Americans hate tortellini. So I would say 99% of Americans love tortellini. Yes. Like, it's National Tortellini Day. Let's celebrate tortellini. How about this? 35% of Americans think tortellini is fancier than normal pasta.
I think that's true. I think that. It just seems...
It takes it up a notch. It's no mac and cheese, Liam.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Julie, it's funny you mentioned that because 1 in 10 Americans have made their own tortellini, which seems impossible to believe.
Wow. That does.
I'm out. I'm going back to the robot with sex.
Yeah. Okay. No. I've made ravioli, but I've never made tortellini.
Really?
Shocked. I know.
Yes. Okay, but
I might not get beyond that point.
I think it was some kind of dare.
Do I just have to stop the show? Liz made ravioli? Okay.
Okay, but this is really where it becomes the definitive tortellini survey because they break down what your favorite tortellini fillings are. Just take a guess. What is the common denominator in everyone's favorite tortellini filling?
Cheese, bam.
Yes.
Yes, Jill.
Guess what? 99% of Americans love cheese.
Cheese, too. So that's it. So, it's cheese, triple cheese, chicken and cheese, spinach and cheese, and then Italian sausage, which you would probably put cheese on top. So that's it. Okay. But this is exciting because Monica mentioned a tortellini recipe the other day, and I haven't on the show, and she was on. I haven't been able to stop thinking about tortellini. So we posted a good... So this really just hit me.
I haven't stopped thinking about that robot. Okay.
So celebrate National Tortellini Day. We posted a good recipe at satellitesisters.com from the good folks at Three Bridges Tortellini. It's like a turkey and tortellini salad. It's unexpected. That's an unexpected way to celebrate National Tortellini Day.
The whole thing is very unexpected,
Leanne. It is. Less than 1% of Americans hate tortellini.
That's 100% believable.
Yes.
Okay, moving on. I guess it's time for my big announcement. This is it, sisters. As many of you may recall, last January, my beloved terrier, Ferris, I know I'm supposed to say cross the rainbow bridge, but I'm just really, I had trouble adopting that as a phrase. He died. Yeah. Okay. And he moved on. And Ferris was the first dog, the only dog I've ever had. And I discovered the joy of dogs.
Yeah.
Like having a dog just adds just a lot of quality to your life, or it added a lot to my life. So I loved Ferris. I took good care of Ferris. I miss Ferris, but I wasn't quite ready to have another dog in my life until now. When I got back from, our vacation in Australia, Julie, I was just thinking like, okay, I'm home now for the rest of my life. I think it's time.
She's used up all her frequent flyers.
Yeah, it's done.
She's not going anywhere. She's going to be home.
So I started going to my favorite website, which is, of course, petfinder.com. And at petfinder.com, you can just put in, like the various, what sorts of breeds do you like? What size do you like? And it's all rescue dogs from around your region or really anywhere in the country. So every night I would just sort of be, sifting around through petfinder.com. You want to find that dog that really jumps out to you on the page, right? And so about 10 days ago, Leon, I think I even emailed you at the time a picture of this guy, Hoover, Julie.
I saw the Hoover. Picture of Hoover, Liz.
Okay.
Mr. H is in the house, huh?
So, and I am a terrier person. So, but I'm open to all kinds of terriers.
Yeah, you were kind of thinking Westie.
Yes.
You said, how about a Westie?
You know, I applied to a Westie rescue organization. Yeah. And no judgment here on all you purebred people, but I never even got a response from them. There was no, okay, we'll put you on the list. There was no nothing. And I think it's because a lot of the rescue organizations, and I understand why they do this. So these rescue people are so awesome.
They're a breed alone.
They are a breed. They are a unique breed. I think it's because they disqualify anyone that doesn't have a yard, or some rescue organizations do. And, you know, I live in a 2-bedroom condo in Santa Monica. I do not have a yard, but I live in a lovely dog friendly neighborhood and, you know, and I enjoy walking my dog.
And you have beautiful weather in Santa Monica. So
yes.
You can, there's no problem walking your dog.
So anyway, so Hoover. They know he's a Scottish Terrier.
Okay.
But they really kind of don't know what else he is. So I'm just going to call him Sketchy Scotty. That's, I think.
The breed. That's the breed.
I think that's what the breed is. Sketchy Scotty. Because, you know, the Scotty is for sure. But the rest, he's got kind of a long body and short legs. So there's a debate. Is that Lhasa Apso? Is that Dachshund? It could be anything. And the thing is, I don't care. I like the fact that he's kind of an oddball.
Sketchy.
He's sketchy.
Yeah.
He's sketchy. I think that, like,
so you've met Hoover, okay? You've spent some time.
Yes. So I went on Sunday because they just have the once a week dog fairs. It's not like you can turn up at the shelter. First, here was more of the description that they had on petfinder.com. It said, "Unique only begins to describe this wonderful dog, but we are fairly certain that he is one of a kind." That's what I mean. Super sketchy what his background is. Anyway, he was brought into the shelter in such an utter state of neglect that his gorgeous thick coat was one solid, dirty, unkempt mass. So they had to, like, shave all of his body hair completely off. So that's why he looks super sketchy in the photo as a result, because it looks like he has a giant head.
Yeah.
Because they didn't shave his head.
Right.
And a super skinny body. But it's because his coat, which they assure me in the copy, when his coat grows back, the color and shiny beauty of it will really surprise you. So yes, it will be a surprise, because I have no idea what he's really going to look like. But most importantly, he's super upbeat, fun, loving, and affectionate. So
upbeat is a good word for a dog.
Liz?
Yeah. Yeah. Upbeat. And he simply wants to be loved and cared for. His soulful brown eyes will look straight into your heart, and we know you will be smitten. And I was. So, Julie, I went down there on Sunday. I met him, took him for a walk. It was a super busy dog adoption fair, though. And so
everything in LA is competitive.
It was just competitive.
Real estate, acting, adoption.
My God. Yeah. So you had to meet the dog first and then fill in your application and then talk to one of the pet rescue ladies, who are all just amazingly committed to this cause. But I could see I had competition. So I tried to be, like, super nice and warm and I tried to really win them over in the interview portion of the selection process, because I knew the lack of a yard could be counted against me. And they said they'll call you within 48 hours if you have been selected as the match. So didn't get a call Sunday night, didn't get a call Monday morning. I'm thinking, oh, that really nice family probably caught him. And then you have to
stupid
say, well,
families.
The important thing is that stupid families.
They get everything.
Did they stink? Were they butter eaters, Liz?
And then you have to think, you really just want the best for the dog. So, okay, if Hoover was not my... Anyway, then she called me. So, yes. But here's what she said, which I thought was funny. She's like, well, Hoover has really... He's about 2 years old, by the way. They said, Hoover's really had a hard life. And we just thought, we need to match him with someone who will just be 100% devoted to him, who just has, like, nothing else going on in their life. Okay, they didn't say that, but that's the way it sounded to me as she was saying it. She said, and we just got the feeling, talking to you, that you would be 100% committed to the happiness and health of your dog. Which I think is true.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
I certainly did that for Ferris.
Yes.
So anyway, so Hoover, which she told me, by the way, not his real name. So if I want to rename him, I can do that. But I kind of like Hoover.
His cute name.
I think I might stick with Hoover.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the moment we're done with the show here today, I'm going home, and it's what they call the home check, which is really they want to make sure you don't have some.
Oh, that's tense. Liz.
Yes.
Yeah, that's,
I know. But they just want to make sure you don't have a bunch of other pets you are mistreating, you know?
Okay.
I think that's really what they're looking for. It's just to get a little bit of a vibe. Are you one of those people who burns through a lot of dogs? And she did say to me on the phone, she said, when I pulled Hoover out of the shelter, she said, I was so mad. He was in such terrible condition that I just thought, I wanted someone to put me alone in a room with the people who had treated him like this. I said, a little pet rescue vigilante justice? She's like, exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just can't stand it if I think too much about what went on to get this dog in this condition.
But he was with a family. He wasn't like living on the street. Like my son's dog, Lily, she lived on the street. She never had a family before. Hoover had a family.
They don't know. They just found him in a shelter, Julie. But he's 2 years old. He must have at some point had a family. But she said he didn't even recognize dog food when I put it down in front of him.
Oh.
So who knows?
Well, maybe he was a street dog. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, wow.
Like, it's weird to see a Scotty street dog.
You're going to be a wonderful teacher. I mean, you can teach him all the right things.
Yes.
And
so
he'll enjoy that.
So we'll see. So the dog beds are out. She asked me on the phone call yesterday, like, well, what is your brand of choice for dog food? And look, I couldn't remember. So then I realized I had
That's a hard question. Wow.
Yeah. So I had a couple of cans of leftover dog food from Ferris that I had in the shelf. And I said, oh, yeah, a can a day. That's what I've been using. I have a can right here. And she's like, what's the expiration date on that can? And again, you just want to say you love these people. They are insanely devoted to making sure these dogs who have had a hard time, their next move is going to make them happy and be, as they say, their forever home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have a complete report, more details in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, and a complete report next week on week one with Hoover.
With Hoover.
So, anyone, you want to send me a bark box or anything? I'll get back on that.
He look really nice, particularly because you're getting him, close to Galentine's Day. Nice red collar, Liz, would look good with this gray fur.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mention that.
Just a style note for you and Hoover.
He's like a smoky gray, dark gray color, which they said is part of his, what makes him so unique.
Unique.
He's just, and I made a comment to her about, I kind of like his oddball look. And she's like, what do you mean oddball? And I'm like, oh, forget it. No, he's perfect. He's perfect in every way. I'm sorry. I take that back. So there you go.
I would just like the less you say is better with this home visit. Don't offer any information. Mm-hmm. It's like when you go to the IRS, if you've ever been there, just don't provide any additional information.
Don't volunteer.
Okay? They don't ask you for it. Don't tell them. Okay.
Okay. Well, hello, Hoover. That's my theme for this week.
Fantastic.
More next week.
Good, Liz. Great. Great.
Great news, Liz.
Okay. So here we go. Now we got to wrap this up. I want to remind people we have an event coming up in Santa Monica on March 18th. It's a Stay Noisy panel. Leanne and I will be doing with women from business and sports about how to speak up and make change when it comes to gender discrimination and being heard in the workplace. So we're working on that now. If you want any details on that, that's on our Facebook page, which is different than the Facebook group, which is the free-for-all discussion. So the Satellite Sisters Facebook page. So that's March 18th at the Santa Monica Public Library. That's a Sunday afternoon. So come and bring your next gen. We would love to have some high school, college age young women in the audience to hear what us wise old people have to say. There you go.
All right. We'd like to thank our sponsors. Thanks to Harry's for always supporting us. You can go to harrys.com/sisters for your special offer. Thanks to care.com/sister. Hey, you might be
dog sitter. I could use care.com for that.
Yeah, don't mention a dog sitter in the interview list.
Okay. Oh, you're right, Julie. You're right. I will never leave this dog's side.
Okay.
That's the right answer. Yeah.
And our new sponsor, Brooklinen. Thanks, Brooklinen. You can go to brooklinen.com and use the promo code SISTERS for the special offer there. We'd like to thank our host at the Wondery Sunset Studios and our engineer, Sergio Enrique. Thank you so much. Anything else going on this week besides Olympic viewing?
More Olympics. Yeah. And happy Valentine's Day. Happy Mardi Gras. Day, happy Galentine's Day,
Tortellini Day,
and National Tortellini Day, Julie. I'm hungry for some.
I know, right?
Yeah,
you want it now. All right, Liz. Good luck with Hoover.
Thanks.
That's so exciting.
It's very exciting.
To Steffi as a cousin, it's very exciting for her.
Oh, I didn't even get to the story about how to make your dog an Instagram star. We ran out of time, but next week. Not that I'm going to exploit Hoover in that way.
Don't mention that in the interview either. Okay.
All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.